KTWH-LP 99.5 FM, Two Harbors, Minnesota. We are moving right on into what's happening. Stay tuned for an interview with Janelle Jones in just a few moments. KTWH, and you're listening to What's Happening, our regular weekly interview check-in with a community leader. And this morning we have Janelle Jones on the line with us. Janelle is the head of the Chamber of Commerce for Lake County, formerly Two Harbors, now encompassing the entire county. Thank you so much, Janelle, for calling in this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, well, it's a pleasure to have you. I know you're a regular here, and it's kind of a cold time of year to be talking about anything. And I just think, Janelle, it's just great to hear your voice again and for everyone to know that our leaders are alive and well, and if not super busy right now, yet planning for our future and for a summer which will come. So I guess I'll just first ask... I know that the chamber has historically, and before the pandemic, you know, we had all kinds of ways to get together and brainstorm and network, and those have been virtual for a while, and I'm guessing some of that energy is mostly just waiting to come back. Is there anything you want to say about that kind of thing?
No, you know what? We're just really excited to be starting to come back. I think you're going to see, you know, from a chamber perspective, us trying to get together a little bit more now and in person with the restaurants opening up. That's been, you know, very helpful. Still trying to keep our gatherings small because we need to, but, you know, pretty optimistic and pretty excited about what's coming down the road. I think we're going to be able to see people getting together more and more as this vaccination rolls out. So and excited to get together again.
Yeah, and as one of the leaders in the probably more in the know than most of us with the vaccinations and the just sort of COVID guidelines, is there anything in specific you want to say about that?
You know, I would encourage people to get their vaccinations. That's what's going to help everybody open up and get us all back to 100% and to feel safe. Just watching the people that have been getting it to, you know, a little sense of relief to be out and about a little bit more and not so fearful of things. So I think we're heading down a good road. I see the percentage of vaccinations are going up in the state, and, you know, hopefully the governor lifts some restrictions and we're going to be good to go, I hope, by summertime.
Yeah, well, I think we probably all have that, share that hope, and especially right now with this deep, deep cold. It's exciting to think about what's coming. And, you know, years ago, Janelle, when you first took over, I know you really started to focus on the online presence of the county, really, and how we can be an online presence. And I have a feeling that's going to really, or has, especially this year, it's been a huge payback. Because we have, you know, we still are mailing out, you know, thousands of brochures. We also just have a really big online presence. And do you have any sense of how many, obviously last summer we had a huge, huge numbers of people coming to see the North Shore and be outside. Do we have those same extended numbers this winter, or is it more of a normal winter, or do you have any sense of that?
It's actually been a pretty busy winter. Even the lack of snow, people have been doing all right. I think people are just so anxious to get out of their houses. And, you know, we've been promoting the wide open spaces and you know, you can come up the North Shore and isolate too. So people have been traveling north. I think things have not slowed down like people thought they might, which has been really good for us. We need that little extra boost coming out of this COVID year. So, you know, hopefully pumping some money into our economy locally, and I'm hoping it'll ride through the springtime and we'll roll right into summer, and hopefully things will be looking a little more normal.
Yeah. Well, and I know after this cold freeze thaws a little bit, I just do know it's actually the very best time of year to do snowshoeing on the rivers. It's the safest time.
Yeah.
And you have these incredible gorges out there, and, you know, sometimes there are trails that are already marked off. Sometimes having some guided would be good, but you know, that is an amazing, it's a pretty short window at the end of winter where those rivers are just fantastic, and
they're gorgeous.
They are,
and there's been so many people coming up and cross-country skiing and snowshoeing this year, more than I've seen in, you know, in many years. And now we've got good snow, so you're watching the snowmobile trailers coming through, and it's been nice. People are learning to enjoy some of our natural resources a little bit more, and I think it's, you know, good things happen. So
yeah, that is definitely a silver lining, and we're just lucky we're not to the phase where, I mean, maybe we are in a few places, but I know my sister in California, you know, when it's a beautiful day, the view is only marred by the crowds, and, you know, we had a lot of people, but we still have views with, you know, quiet spaces, and in general people are enjoying it. So once again, just super lucky to be up here and have things to do outside during COVID, even though I wouldn't necessarily suggest it today, but, you know, pretty darn soon.
We have plenty of room.
We do.
It's pretty nice.
Do you have any news about new businesses coming up, or any type of industry that you see that might be of interest to listeners in the next year or two, or are we mostly just staying in the present right now?
Well, you know, it's not always my story to tell, so I have
right.
to
Well, and I don't,
things.
Far be it for me to ask you to disclose anything that it really is not public news yet, but.
But what I will say is right now it's not the easiest thing to find an empty storefront, which is good. We have some new things that you're going to see opening hopefully this spring. And, you know, that's a good problem to have. It's really nice to see people investing in small communities and small businesses again. You know, I think if people are paying attention, everybody's so quick to hop on Amazon these days and order up their stuff for their house, but Amazon's prices are going up, and I think if people have the opportunity and the options in their own communities, that's still the best way to be buying your stuff. So
Yes.
Pay attention. You're going to see some new things happening and some new options happening. And it's nice to see people making those investments in our community.
Yes, that is so true. And I feel like an interview with you is never complete without making that little plug, because it continues to be true, and it continues to be a trend, you know, that people are really actually starting to notice and appreciate that if we can buy local, there will be a local to buy from.
It's true. It's here. You just have to,
I got to tell you, I'm gunning for a shoe store.
Wouldn't that be nice?
I still think you should do that, Katya.
Why don't you?
I don't know. Maybe I will.
You would be great at that.
I know. Well, I certainly have my ideas about what should be available and what we shouldn't have to go to Duluth for all the time.
We're going to put you on the spot. Like, Katya, in a shoe store.
Well, I put you on the spot before, so I guess that's fair.
A shoe store would be fantastic. I think we all go back to the Ray's shoe store when we were kids.
Right, and we get someone to help us try it on, and we get those fun little things that we put our foot in, so we actually understand that it's the right size. And
that small town experience.
That's right. I grew up with that. I would love to return to that, and just love sharing little snippets like that, because you know what, the sky's the limit. Who's to say what's the more quality way to buy a shoe? So
it's true.
All right, well, thank you, Janelle. It is fun to have our chat on this cold morning, and I know
thanks for letting me stay in.
We'll have you back again when things really do start to pick up and there's a lot of activity to talk about.
I appreciate it. You take care and stay warm, stay healthy.
Yes, and you as well. All right. Have a good day,
Take
Janelle.
Care.
We'll see
you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Janelle Jones, head of our Lake County Chamber of Commerce, speaking with me this morning on What's Happening. So stay tuned. In just a few minutes, we will have Kenny Blumenfeld with his weather tidbits. And boy, is he going to have something to tell us about today. So I hope you can stay tuned. You're listening to KTWH 995. As promised, Kenny Blumenfeld is coming on. He is our weekly check-in weather guy, senior climatologist with the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. And Kenny, are you there?
I am here. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for calling in, as always, and paying attention to our little town on the North Shore. We so appreciate it.
Happy shivering.
Yes. Well, you know what? I was talking to somebody in Fergus Falls the other day, and he was about to drive 4 hours to come see the sea smoke on the lake. So that really helped me appreciate, wow, it is beautiful. I think it's called sea smoke or cloud smoke or whatever it is, the condensation right above the lake in these extreme cold temperatures when there's no ice. So
yeah, it's beautiful. You get that steam rising. You know, you have the water instantaneously condenses as soon as it evaporates. So just a beautiful sight. It's
and very
for good time lapses.
Very distinct to this, yeah, for this time and to the no ice situation too. So, as you foretold, I will tell you that it has been, as everywhere, incredibly, not only, I mean, the cold, yes, but the wind just sort of straight out of the north or the west or the west or the southwest, and really creating conditions on the lake that I don't remember ever seeing before, with this cloud smoke blowing like a blizzard over the water and making everything covered with ice by the shore, even though there's no ice on the water. Just really remarkable extremes going on right now.
Yeah, I mean, it is a very cold air mass. And, you know, the one thing that's a little different is I spent, you know, the first week of it, you know, we're measuring it in weeks now, but the first week of it, it was just plain old cold.
Right.
It was nothing out of the ordinary. And actually, our office, the state climatology office, spent a little time on Facebook kind of making fun of how cold it wasn't.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and I think we hashed over some of those statistics last week. But now we've entered the phase where it's legitimate cold. You know, I know you have friends, and I'm sure there's even listeners up in Brimson. The official National Weather Service Cooperative Observer in Brimson had a low of negative 41 yesterday morning. And we've seen negative 40s in the inland areas in northeast Minnesota for the last couple of days, including this morning.
Whew.
Those are just air temperatures.
Yeah.
International Falls has hit negative 38. Embarrass and Babbitt, both negative 38, but Cotton came in at negative 46 yesterday morning.
Ooh.
So that's real. I mean, that's real. And we have, pardon me, we have probably the coldest weekend of the winter in front of us right now. So I would say, including this morning, but probably doubling down a little more with the wind coming tonight and Saturday night especially, going to be a cold weekend. There's going to be wind chills through, you know, if you're in an exposed area where the wind's really blowing. So I think of some of those sections, you know, the wind's going to be coming out of the northwest. So you kind of have to be off the shore to really get it. But the anyone who's exposed is going to see wind chills in the 45 to 50 below range. More commonly, you'll see wind chills in the 40s below, though. It's going to feel cold.
Yeah.
And that'll be worst on, you know, in the mornings. So that'll be Saturday morning and Sunday morning especially. It'll be bad. Temperatures are going to be, you know, the wind will actually prevent the temperatures from falling too far. So they might only fall into the negative 20s and negative 30s instead of the negative 30s and negative 40s. But it is a cold air mass. Even here in southern Minnesota, we'll be seeing temperatures into the negative 20s down into the far southern parts of the state. And this is the thing that's kind of blowing people away, is the sub-zero conditions once this cold front slams through. So there's actually a secondary reinforcement of cold air that's coming in this afternoon. It's essentially behind a low-pressure system that's too far away for us to feel. And so all it's going to do is it's going to ratchet up those northerly winds a little bit more, and it's going to send a second reinforcing shot of cold weather all the way down towards the Gulf of Mexico. So we're looking at, by late in the weekend, temperatures in Oklahoma and Texas are going to be flirting with zero. And that is some rare territory right there.
Whoa.
I mean, that is, yeah, I mean, you know, so we look to the, we like to make fun of, it's great fun to sit up in Minnesota, all high and mighty, looking south and making fun of what people in even Iowa can't withstand. But in usually when a place like Oklahoma or Texas or Arkansas gets a snowstorm, it's a big slush bomb because there's so much warm air from the Gulf of Mexico. There's so much moisture there that they just get several inches of slush and the whole place shuts down. Well, we're looking at a snowstorm in Oklahoma that's likely to produce a foot of snow in some areas, and it's going to be powder, which I don't know if I can ever think of a time where I remember a forecast for, you know, Tulsa or Norman, Oklahoma, or areas to the west or parts of the panhandle of Texas and Oklahoma, where they're going to get several inches of snow and the temperatures are going to be in the single digits while it's falling.
Wow.
So, that's kind of the weather tidbit of the week, is this thing, we're so deep in the cold air mass that, you know, you hear people say it's too cold to snow, and what that really means, it's never too cold to snow, but it is when we're in the center of a cold air mass, the air is sinking, and that prohibits upward motions that lead to snowfall and precipitation. And instead, this cold air mass has pushed all of the winter storm activity down towards the Red River of the South. That's the river valley that separates Oklahoma from Texas. This area is going to get bombarded by winter weather over the coming week. They've already been hit a little bit, but they're going to get, you know, some of these areas are going to get ice, they're going to get a foot of snow, they're going to have temperatures flirting with zero, and in some cases dropping below zero. They're going to have a full-on blizzard with 40 and 50 mile-an-hour wind gusts.
Wow.
So they get all the excitement, and we're just going to shiver.
Oh, I've got to believe that's actually pretty, there's going to be a lot of dangers associated with that. I mean, do they even know how to dress appropriately for 0 degrees and a wind chill? I mean, that's concerning. I mean, I'm sure they'll shut everything down, but I guess, and that's just the polar vortex. It's just air straight from the Arctic that's actually just moving straight south. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, basically, there is this, and so in the part of the atmosphere where we reside, there's usually a polar vortex or a circumpolar vortex, also known as the tropospheric polar vortex. But it's essentially, you know, where it's a belt of air that rotates counterclockwise around the North Polar region. And because of a disruption higher in the atmosphere where the real hemispheric polar vortex resides, it kind of sent a perturbance or a disturbance, a perturbation down towards the ground. And that fractured this normal cyclonic airflow that we have in the troposphere that goes around the poles, and it dislodged it and it sent it south. And it's actually crossing the Minnesota-Canada border right now and will be over northeast Minnesota for most of this weekend. And so that's where the coldest, densest air in the entire continent resides. It's right over, you know, not far from the Canadian border. But its reaches, you know, the entire area that it covers is actually making it down to almost to the Gulf Coast. And so that area, yeah, they're getting Arctic air, and I agree, they're not accustomed to it. You know, I think that probably the headlines are just scaring enough people that they'll stay in. But you know how these things are, too. There's a lot of people who, you know, the show must go on. Or sometimes for work, you still have to report in. I mean, you know, a lot of times the government will shut things down, but the private sector keeps on churning. And so I think, you know, they get enough snow that they know how to handle very basic conditions, but they don't have experience with the kind of upper Midwest winter storm. And really, to their credit, they're going to be experiencing something that's rare even in the majority of Minnesota. It's more like a North Shore phenomena, like the Duluth Harbor area gets this kind of weather every year, but there are parts of Minnesota that don't see blizzards every year. So
right. Now, that is definitely sobering, and I also think of their infrastructure and pipes freezing, and like, I mean, maybe it's so short term that those things won't be widespread, but yeah, that's a big event down there. So
I wouldn't be surprised if, I mean, I don't want to be too alarmist, but I wouldn't be surprised if it turns into one of the big weather events of the year for that region in particular, and that you end up needing to spend some disaster dollars with a declaration for all the reasons you said. I think that the areas that don't get snow are going to get cold, and they're going to have septic and pipe issues. And then they're also going to have, yeah, because the frost will get into the ground there. I don't think the areas that get snow have as much to worry about with the freezing of the infrastructure because snow is such a good insulator.
Yeah.
But they're also going to have snow removal costs that there's no way they've budgeted for. I mean, there's just no way that they budgeted to move, you know, snow by the foot.
Yeah.
There's just no way. That's not because that they're going to receive in one snowstorm probably more than they would typically expect for an entire winter.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's definitely the big weather news. Although, you know, for us, this is nothing to sneeze at. We're going to be in wind chill advisories or warnings all weekend, and it's going to remain cold every night, probably through Monday morning and maybe even into Tuesday morning, but you're going to start to notice a change.
Yeah, I was going to say, tell us what's coming. Show us relief.
Well, I mean, right now, any real relief is not to be believed. However, how about just kind of normalish?
Yeah.
I think that looks increasingly likely for the latter part of next week. So I think that the deep freeze, I mean, there is a meteorology to it, and even though we always talk about uncertainty, it is true that the high pressure system is going to, it can't just persist indefinitely, and once it drifts off to our east, we'll start getting into southerly winds, and the density of the air will start to decrease, and you'll start getting more warmth mixing in. But we're talking about maybe next week, instead of spending all day below zero, maybe we'll just revert back to, well, the nights go below zero, but the days you can maybe get up into the teens in the Two Harbors area. That'll be an improvement, but, you know, it's going to be kind of a slog to get there. We still probably have four really good cold mornings yet before we get to the point where it's notably warmer.
And then it seems like it's just been amazingly dry, too. Is that continuing?
Yeah, that's something that's a little disappointing because a lot of times these cold air masses are associated with a lot of precipitation. Even if it's dry precipitation, you get a lot of snow, and we just haven't had much. I mean, we've had these little, you know, here in southern Minnesota, there have been these little half-inch bursts of extremely dry snow. It almost doesn't count. But the state has really been dry because we've been dominated by the high pressure that's associated with the cold air. I'm hopeful. You know, I love snowstorms, and I am hopeful that as the cold air recedes, we get into a stormy pattern, and it's just something that the models aren't seeing yet. There's some hints at that about 10 days out, but, you know, I'd say 7 out of 10 times when you recover from a cold air mass, a cold outbreak, you get a doozy of a storm somewhere in the region. So, you know, if we just played the basic historical odds, we'd be looking at a snowstorm somewhere in the region within about 5 days after the cold breaks. But we're just not seeing that yet on the models. And it might be because it's far enough away that it's not being picked up. And it could also just be that this is not one of those, it's not the time.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Well, thanks, Kenny. That was an earful. And we were ready. We were ready, and you gave it to us. So
yeah,
thanks so much.
Weekend.
You stay warm as well. We'll talk to you again next time.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. That was Kenny Blumenfeld, senior climatologist with the Minnesota DNR. That wraps up What's Happening on KTWH.